Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction, along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. The cost of flying is not coming down, but the capabilities of desktop flight simulation is going up. We're speaking today with Austin Meyer, creator of X-Plane. The program claims to offer some of the most accurate aerodynamic simulation in the field of desktop flight simulation. Austin is a pilot himself and has been applying his programming skills beyond the flight simulator arena in areas that may soon have an impact on the safety of flight. But success hasn't been only good for Austin. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Austin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Before we dig into the latest developments, let's set the foundation. Please tell people about X-Plane, what it is, what it's capable of, and what kind of users can benefit from it.
So X-Plane is a flight simulator for Macintosh, Windows, and Linux personal computers, and it's priced at $69.99. So it's designed to run on a wide variety of computers at a very affordable price point. And I initially wrote X-Plane way back, believe it or not, around 1993. Is when I started writing it. And I initially wrote X-Plane to help me get through an instrument currency check more easily. I was taking an instrument currency check out in Southern California, where the airspace is really busy. And if you're going to be IFR out there in the San Diego area, you've got to be on your game. And I realized at that point that I needed a way to practice in the simulator to keep my skills up. I looked at Microsoft Flight Simulator, but it just didn't do quite what I wanted. It didn't have the flexibility to really accurately portray the Piper Archer that I was flying at the time. So I decided to write my own simulator so I could keep up my instrument flying skills and really be on the ball whenever I went up with an instructor. And that simulator that I started is what we call today X-Plane. And with X-Plane, you can enter the design of any aircraft that you like, including an airplane that you fly every day or a hypothetical design that you have in your mind that's never actually been built. You enter the specifications, the wingspan, the weight, the power, the propeller radius, all that kind of stuff. You enter the characteristics that define the airplane into X-Plane, and then X-Plane predicts how that airplane will fly and lets you actually fly it in a real-time simulation. Now, because many, many, many thousands of people fly X-Plane, almost every airplane in the world already exists in X-Plane. So whether you fly a Cessna 172, a Columbia 400, a Mooney, whatever it is, you can either enter that aircraft yourself or download it from xplane.org, which is the website where third-party airplanes are posted, and then fly it on your computer. And this lets you keep up your instrument training, but not only keep up your instrument skills, but it lets you fly your airplane really just for fun. We have a really good flight model. X-Plane flies just like the real airplane does, and incredible scenery with every road on the planet that's listed in OpenStreetMap, which is a road database we use, and thousands of buildings all put alongside the roads, so the buildings are in more or less an accurate location with accurate water use and land use and sky and weather rendering, complete with real-time weather, where weather is actually downloaded from the net to be consistent with what's happening in the real world at that time. And so with the huge databases and the buildings and the topography and the weather and the flight modeling, when you fly X-Plane, as far as I can tell, it's about as close as you can get to flying a real airplane without actually having to do it. And as a result, the ability to keep up your skills, to enjoy flying your own airplane virtually, and the ability to see what it's like to fly maybe a hypothetical airplane that hasn't actually been built yet, are all things that X-Plane handles really well. And we are finding people rapidly switching over from Microsoft, because that product was stopped some years ago. People are rapidly switching over from Microsoft over to X-Plane, and they're really enjoying the new flight modeling realism and nicer scenery and whatnot that they're finding with these newer versions of X-Plane that really, really is the next best thing to flying the real airplane.
Now, do you need a hyper-powerful computer to really take advantage of all this, or can you degrade things like scenery? How updated do people need their computer to be to really use this thing?
The computer does not have to be a super high-end gaming platform, as we call it in the business. A 3 or 4 year old computer is really no problem at all. X-Plane has incredibly scalable graphics. You can drag your detail sliders all the way down to the bottom where you don't have all the buildings and roads, but the airplane still flies perfectly realistically, and you can still get perfectly decent weather rendering, but doing so on a much lower end computer. Then, if you get an extremely, extremely high-end computer, you can drag all those sliders all the way up to the maximum, and you'll get a level of scenery that you have never seen in any flight simulator ever before, and you can still get a good frame rate there. So X-Plane runs on an extremely wide range of computers, all based on what level you set your rendering options to in the rendering options screen.
Well, now, talking about realism, you've also been working on an auto-land system for real general aviation aircraft. What can you tell us about that project?
Okay, so it's not technically an auto-land system, but I can get into a little more detail on that in a moment. It's called the VP-400, as in Vertical Power 400. I'm building a Lancair Evolution out in Redmond, Oregon, and we're just putting the interior in now, by the way. This Evolution has all electronic circuit breakers, and its autopilot is actually hooked up to a little primitive artificial intelligence that lives inside the airplane. And this kind of primitive AI is called the VP-400. And what the VP-400 does is it's a standalone box. It's designed to live between a Garmin 900 PFD and a Garmin 900 MFD or any other set of avionics, but provide backup attitude heading reference system, backup synthetic vision, backup altitude and airspeed, electronic circuit breaker, and environmental control, so you can run the air conditioning and heating and environmental control and electronic circuit breakers through this system. And then finally, since this has connections to all of the systems inside the airplane, it actually runs a tiny little miniature flight simulator behind the scenes, constantly imagining what would happen if your airplane were to have an engine failure at that moment. And what it does is it imagines if an engine failure were to happen at that moment, what are the airports that it could glide to? And it actually simulates a power-off glide to every airport within gliding range, every runway, every traffic pattern direction, at a number of different glide slopes and approach points and touchdown points on the runway. And it scores each simulated flight with a chance of success or a probability that the power-off landing will be successful. Whichever score is highest, in other words, whatever possible approach is most likely to result in a successful landing, it presents to you on the display as simply a bunch of 3D hoops in the sky that you fly through. And so at any point, you can push the red panic button in the airplane and simply fly the airplane through the hoops to bring you down to the runway. And in the case of my Evolution, and this is available to other customers as well to buy the VP-400, they can even get the autopilot to fly the hoops for them. In other words, with the push of one button, the airplane uses a primitive artificial intelligence to fly itself down to the best runway to land at in the event of engine failure. Now, we have not actually used this to land the airplane. We have used this, however, in real airplanes to get down to within about 400 feet of the ground many, many, many times. So in other words, you can think of it as an autopilot-coupled instrument approach, but rather than the instrument approach being one that you have to select from a predefined list, the aircraft is constantly building its own instrument approaches in the background that have the perfect continuous power-off glide slope to take you from your current elevation down to touchdown at the airport, so you arrive basically at your decision height or minimum descent altitude on speed, heading, altitude, and location for the perfect power-off landing.
Do you have...
So it's not a full auto lander, but it takes you down to the runway. Now, I should mention, however, that even though we've only tested it down to about 200 to 400 feet above the ground, as is your standard instrument approach altitudes, the system will attempt to take the airplane all the way down to the runway and touch down safely. And this has been tested thousands of times in the simulator. We haven't actually done that part on a real airplane yet. But in the event the pilot is incapacitated, the system will attempt to flare the airplane, round it out, and intersect the runway on speed, heading, altitude, and descent rate that should definitely be survivable.
And do you have pricing and availability?
It is commercially available right now. Right now, if you go to Vertical Power's website, and if you Google VP-400 for Vertical Power 400, you will find the product rapidly at Vertical Power's website, and they list the pricing there, and it is available now. We are just now starting to sell it. Now, the Vertical Power 400 is not available to just anyone because it is ready to go into experimental aircraft only. But I do have something that's almost as good that's useful for everyone. I made a copy of the VP400 for iPad, and I call it Xavion. Xavion for iPad is just like the VP400, except, of course, it doesn't take control of your autopilot or control your air conditioning or electronic circuit breakers. In other words, the iPad would never touch any aircraft system. That would be way too dangerous. But the iPad can certainly display information to the pilot that he can use. So with Xavion, which is available at the App Store for iPad right now for just $99, Xavion shows you a synthetic vision system, backup of your ground speed. The iPad doesn't know your airspeed, but it does know your ground speed from the GPS. The iPad shows you ground speed, GPS-derived altitude, path, doesn't know your heading because the magnetometers are not very accurate in iPads, but it does know your path, and a synthetic vision system. So in other words, as you're flying along with Xavion, you can see a computer-generated image of the world on your iPad, even if it's in the dark of night or in the clouds. And then furthermore, if you ever hit the panic button on the Xavion on your iPad, Hoops will lead from your current location down to the runway, all presented in 3D on your iPad. If you simply follow just fly your airplane manually through those hoops, you should arrive at a runway threshold at the speed, heading, altitude appropriate for a power-off landing. And what this does is it lets you fly a single-engine airplane at night or IFR with the same kind of power-off approachability that you might have in day VFR conditions, because you can effectively see where the airports are, and there's hoops leading to those airports that you can fly the airplane through in the event of power loss. So it really starts to bring more utility to a single-engine airplane that people might not otherwise use.
Now, in and amongst all this progress, all this innovation, recently you've come into some legal problems. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. Let me speak generally. I'm in the middle of a lawsuit right now, and like many people that are being sued, they are advised not to talk about the specifics of that lawsuit. But I'm going to speak generally, and I know I can do that safely. There's a concept of someone called a patent troll. Here's what a patent troll does. A patent troll goes and looks at things that people do, particularly in the technical world, every day. Then they go file a patent for whatever common practice is already in widespread use. Once they file the patent for what everyone else is already doing, they then proceed to start suing everyone they can find that they claim infringes on their idea. Now, this is not supposed to be possible because the patent office is not supposed to grant patents that describe things that are already in process, right? This is why the system isn't supposed to work this way. However, the patent office in 1999 awarded a patent for a stick for a dog to fetch. And no, I'm not kidding. You can look it up yourself. In 1999, the patent office told someone that they are indeed the first person to ever invent a stick that a dog could fetch, and that patent was approved. The patent office approved 150 different patents that all claimed to be the original inventor of Wi-Fi. In other words, 150 people submitted applications to the patent office saying, I am the original inventor of Wi-Fi, and 150 times the patent office said, okay, agreed, thunk, and approved the patent. In other words, it's extremely easy for maybe perhaps unscrupulous people would be a way to phrase it, to get patents that simply describe things that we already do every day, then claim ownership of the idea, and then sue people that perform that idea in everyday life. And right now, people, small businesses, are starting to get lawsuits because they have a Wi-Fi at their office or because they have a photocopier at the office that they use to scan documents. And when people get these lawsuits, they find out when they contact a lawyer that the cost to defend a lawsuit is about $2 million and that they're going to be spending 2 years defending themselves. And when people find out that they're being sued for a $2 million defense fee, is what they're looking at, and 2 years to defend themselves, they'll basically do anything they can to get out of the lawsuit. And 97% of the people that are sued in these cases settle. They settle with the person that's suing them because it's easier. The average settlement, according to the reports I've read, is $340,000. In other words, a tremendous number of people are being sued for using technology that's already in the public domain and paying $340,000 to get out of that lawsuit. Now, the reason you don't already know about this is because when people settle, they sign a non-disclosure agreement which states they'll never tell anybody the details of what happened to them. That's a requirement of the patent troll, that the person, that the lawsuit only stop if the person they're suing promises to never reveal the specifics of it to the rest of the world. And that's why this is allowed to go on under the radar. And the total cost of patent trolls right now is $29 billion to $500 billion a year, depending on which report you read. Now, the reason I'm bothering to mention this is because I'm being sued for putting X-Plane on the Android platform. And a company called Unilock is claiming that they own some of the ideas of me putting a flight simulator on the Android platform. And I'm not allowed by my lawyer to go into more specifics than that, but I think each person will have to decide for themselves whether somebody should be sued for making an app for Android. And this is something we need to be aware of, because patent trolling lawsuits are now more common than standard patent lawsuits, where a standard patent lawsuit is one where somebody does something at work and then is preventing other people from taking their idea. Most of the lawsuits filed today that revolve around patents are filed by companies that do not actually produce any goods or services. In other words, they only get money from suing other people, not from actually creating anything themselves. That's a definition of the word patent troll, and most patent lawsuits by that definition are filed by patent trolls today. And the number of lawsuits is only increasing each year.
Now, what's the plan moving forward for X-Plane regarding this lawsuit?
There's absolutely no possible way I could currently imagine settling, and here's why. Well, I can't go into the technical details of the patent or the technical details of my defense, because this is something obviously my lawyers are working on very carefully. What I can say is I absolutely positively could not agree that a company called Unilock, headed as far as I can tell by one person, invented the idea of copyright checking this app on Android. I cannot believe that the patent they hold is valid. That being the case, I cannot possibly agree that they should be owed licensing fees, and that's why this is going to go to a jury. I'm going to be in the 3% of the people that don't settle, because I could simply never live with myself if I simply forked over money because it was easier. This is going to have to be something that 12 people of good conscience actually see and make a real decision on, not just taking the easy way out because it's cheaper in the short term.
Now, what are the possible ramifications of this for X-Plane in the short term and in the long term?
The ramifications that I see are several-fold. One is that, like it or not, I'm not going to have as much time to develop X-Plane because some of my time is spent dealing with this lawsuit. As well, I'm not going to have as much money to pursue development in X-Plane because some of that money is going to the lawyer. And so the short-term ramification is going to be somewhat negative, and that time and money spent on a lawsuit is not time and money spent building a better product. Now, luckily, Laminar Research has more than one person working on X-Plane. We have several people working on X-Plane. I'm only one of them. And the other people I have working on X-Plane are going to work uninterrupted. So the negative ramification on X-Plane is not terrible in this case. But in the future, there is a very good chance that there will be no Laminar Research products for Android, because these patent trolling lawsuits often center around Android products. And when we look at the cost that we're putting into legal defense for this Android version of X-Plane compared to the revenue that we've brought in, it just doesn't make sense to do it. In other words, the business isn't worthwhile. And so the future of Laminar Research products on Android specifically is certainly in jeopardy. Now, in the long run, I think we're going to be better for this, not worse, because I'm perhaps optimistically hoping that I can change the system by bringing awareness to the public of the patent trolling problem, and thereby hopefully reduce the number of patent trolling lawsuits in the future, which will leave myself and other developers free to do actual work and create actual goods and services in the future rather than spending money on frivolous lawsuits. So while there may be a short-term cost to me, I'm hoping the benefit in the long run will be worth it.
We've been speaking with Austin Meyer, creator of X-Plane. Go to xplane.com, that's x-plane.com, and scroll down to the bottom for links on all these subjects. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.